The records continue to tumble after Tottenham swept through the John Smith Stadium on Saturday, but according to Pep and his chinos, Spurs are a one-man team. So, just for Guardiola, this is your Harry Kane podcast. Come on, you Spurs! Hi guys, welcome to your eSpurs podcast. Of course, plenty to talk about on a packed show this week. And as always, we want you guys out there listening to get involved in the show. You can, of course, follow us via Twitter and Instagram at @e_Spurs. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/eSpurs page. And you can subscribe to us on our YouTube channel. Just search eSpurs TV on there. Before we kick off tonight, just a reminder, you can also download our brand new free app via the App Store or Google Play, where you'll also find our articles, audio feeds and the video from eSpurs TV on their chat rooms and much, much more. So, before we start talking Tottenham tonight, let's introduce the panel. And first up, I'm pleased to introduce, back for three in a row, it's Austin Nardone. How you doing, buddy?
Doing great, man. Glad to make it a hat trick on appearances, and excited to talk about another 3 points.
Absolutely. Hat trick balls in the post, mate, and good to have you on as always. And I promised last week we'd have a few new voices on the show for you, and indeed we have. First up, one of those making their debut, it's James Tranham. How you doing, James?
Yeah, good, thanks, Andy. Yeah, really good to be on. It's nice to be able to give my opinions to the masses rather than just boring my old man and my brother with them. So, really pleased to be on.
Good stuff, mate. We call it therapy, so I hope it's the same for
definitely.
You.
Sure it will be.
Great stuff. And alongside Phil tonight, another one making his debut, first time on the podcast. Really pleased to welcome along Phil Barron. Phil, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you, and thanks for inviting me. Same thing, I think my wife's sick of me talking about Spurs.
Absolutely, mate. Now, as you know, every week we like to give some of you out there a shout out, and we know there are those of you listening to the eSpurs podcast from various locations around the world. And as I always say, guys, we really appreciate every single listen we get to the podcast. So just to give a few of you a mention, first up to Erham, @RealErham from Indonesia. He says he's listening tonight, so thanks for that. Also, Moira Kavanagh, who's listening from Cyprus. Tony Pomeranz from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Mark Robinson says he's listening from Newcastle. David S, who I know is a friend of the show, always comments on our YouTube page, so thanks for that, David. And also South Dorset Spurs, who says every week in my car commuting from Weymouth. So thanks to each and every one of you guys. We really appreciate your time and your listens. Let's talk some Tottenham, shall we? Of course, a massively important win last weekend. Phil, let's start off with you first up on the show this week. How impressed was you with that performance on Saturday?
I think the first half was probably the best I've seen us this season, to be honest with you. The one-touch football was just sublime. I know it was Huddersfield Moor. Everyone say, oh, they're not the best team in the world, but you've still got to do it on the pitch. And the first half an hour, I actually started to feel sorry for Huddersfield.
Yeah,
they couldn't get near the ball. I know they rattled the bar, but that was their only chance. But the one-touch football was just, it was great to watch. It was the Spurs that people have paid money to see and what they want to see. And long may it continue, that's all I can say.
Yeah, absolute joy to watch, wasn't it? It was almost, as you say, almost got a bit embarrassing at times. Great stuff to watch. And Austin, I mean, it could have been a lot more, couldn't it? Previously, we tend to start games a little bit more conservative and then build into the game, but we really came out of the blocks in this one. What do you put that down to?
Well, I think that probably comes down to the manager really just getting into the player's ear, because at least this is what, when they were interviewing, I'm not sure if it was Dyer or Eriksen, or they were interviewing one of the players, and maybe even was Winks, I'm not sure, but they were saying that that the manager had been saying all week leading up to the match, like, we need to get a good start here and really put in the work in the first half, and that's clearly what we did. I mean, I was actually quite surprised to see Huddersfield come out and play as attacking as they were. It was kind of a surprise because, you know, you've seen that the lower table teams have had success whenever they sit deep and really kind of invite all the pressure and try and get us to break them down is where we've had problems. So for us to be so clinical on the break, I mean, the one goal that sticks out for me is probably the second goal where they kind of have like a beautiful like 1-2-3 little triangle, and then the ball gets released into the upper part of the field, and Erickson's running with it, and then it goes off of a player, and then Ben Davies gets the goal. And so for me, you know, to see goals from all over the pitch, especially from the likes of Ben Davies, who really I think is just a benefactor of a lot of hard work and the system, I think that also you can't take away anything from that finish. I mean, for me, it was a fantastic, you know, way to get started, as you say.
Absolutely. And I mean, as I mentioned at the top of the show, the records continue to tumble for Spurs this season now. Won our opening four league games away from home for the first time since 60-61. Scored 25 goals in our last six Premier League away matches, an average of more than four per game. James, do you think Huddersfield possibly played into our hands in some ways by being so open on Saturday?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think Austin hit the nail on the head. Huddersfield pretty much turned up and tried to play us at our own game. And I think, you know, they had the crowd behind them. It was a really good atmosphere. And they started quite quickly, probably for the first 10, 15 minutes, you know, with a crowd and the way the atmosphere was going. We weren't so much under pressure, but, you know, there was a couple of opportunities. They had a good strike on goal from Smith. And, you know, it could have been a bit of a different story. But one of the things we've seen over the last couple of games with Spurs, and probably the reason why we didn't beat Swansea, Burnley and Chelsea, is how clinical Kane is.
Yeah.
When we've been given a chance, we've taken it, especially against West Ham. You know, in days gone by, you would have seen the move breakdown with Carroll, and then that ball by Ali wouldn't have been as good for Kane, or Kane wouldn't have finished it, and then we would labour through the game. Whereas the last couple of games, the minute we've had a chance, you know, Kane has been so clinical in taking it. And then it pushes us on the front foot, and straight away it pushes Huddersfield back. I think if Huddersfield had started the way they played the second half, where they were kind of on damage limitation, then it might have been a bit more of a struggle for us.
We were talking, James, before the show about our fullbacks and the impression they've made this season. Bearing in mind last season, they'd just come into the team. They were seen as reserves, weren't they, for much of that season and season before. How impressed have you been with our fullbacks?
Yeah, I think they've been great. I mean, towards the end of the last season, Trippier came in and showed what he can do. Both of them, I would say, have their limitations in terms of being that very top level of fullback, in terms of probably pace, beating a man. But both of them positionally, Davies especially, is very good defensively. And we've seen through his assists and his goals this season that he's getting better going forward, which I think you've got to put it down to some of Pochettino's coaching. We've seen it with so many players that, you know, he spends a bit of time with them and really improves them. And I think certainly those who have benefited massively from it. And as we were talking about, when Rose comes back, it'll give Poch a chance to, you know, make tactical decisions on his fullbacks. You know, if we're up against a Mane or someone a bit quicker, then Rose might be the answer. And in other games, we might need to use Davies. And again, he can swap into that back two position into the centre halves. And, you know, he's versatile, which we've got throughout the squad now.
Yeah, what a problem to have, eh? Bringing Rose back into the side and having to choose between them two. It's not bad at all, is it, when you look at it?
Nah.
Phil, we've got to mention this. Dele Alli, second half, took a tumble, didn't he? Now, he seems to be in the media every other week. I sort of go through spells with Dele Alli where I fall out of love for him a little bit because of his antics. Then I remind myself of how great he is, you know, how great he could be. Sort of mixed feelings. But what's your thoughts on Dele Alli? Because there's no doubt about it, is there? He's a fantastic talent and he's got huge potential, this guy.
He's a great talent, but his age comes through sometimes. And that booking is an example of that. You're 3-0 up. Why do that? Get a pointless yellow card. That yellow card might come back and haunt us. That's his immaturity basically coming through. And I've noticed this season, I don't know whether his head's been turned about big money, big moves, but he's not the same player that was going for every ball last season. He was fighting for every ball last season. I've noticed a couple of times, a few 50-50 balls, he's kind of half give up on it. When we're winning, like Huddersfield, there was a couple of times against Huddersfield where he could have got the ball and he kind of give up on it a little bit because, we're 3 up. That's not the Alli of last year. So I think Poch can see it as well. But his age, it's like, that's what you got to worry about. People forget how young he is sometimes. And I think that's where the issue is with him. If you can get that part of his game out of his system, the stupid, like, niggly little fouls that he does, little kicks out and things like that, he will be a world-class player without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, he's certainly got that in his locker, isn't he, to be that good. And Pochettino said after the game, this type of action does not help him, does not help the club, and does not help football. We are talking these last few years about fair play and being honest. He's improved a lot, but still there is a little bit he must learn. Austin, if you're Pochettino, what's the best way to handle Dele Alli?
Dele's really difficult because he's one of those things where, like, he's a can't miss. You know, he's one of those that whenever you choose the lineup, you're thinking to yourself, well, who can get a goal out of absolutely nothing after 90 plus minutes of play? You know, I mean, he's the guy that last season and kind of the season before that, he was our go-to guy. I mean, the game against Chelsea at the Lane, he pretty much won, I don't want to say single-handedly, I would say it was kind of down to him and Eriksen really just kind of playing 1-2 in that game. But for me, Dele is one of those that, because he is top class and because he is so young, he kind of loses, I think, interest sometimes because he's like, I've been here, I've done this, you know, playing the likes of, you know, a Huddersfield and the likes of like a Burnley, you know, when he scored the goal against Burnley at home and he kind of just didn't celebrate. I think that was probably because he got a talking to at halftime and maybe was just a little upset. But yeah, I think he has been a little bit off keel this year. It seems like there is something that's kind of bothering him. I don't know what it is, but it's one of those things where, I mean, I bought a Dele jersey. I knew that that was probably not the smartest idea because I wasn't sure how long he was going to be here. I should have gone with a Kane. That would have been the smart choice, but you know, I went with my heart over my head in that case because I love Dele. I think he's the cheeky little, you know, guy that everybody hates. Unless he's on your team, then you absolutely love him. So he is a very special player, and I'm so glad that he plays for us. You know, if he played for any other club in the Premier League, I'd hate him. You know, I'd absolutely hate him. So it's just one of those things where I hope that while he is here, you know, whether it be for another year or 2 years or more, I mean, you would like to think that he would like to be a part of the new stadium, the most, you know, new state-of-the-art, going to be the second in capacity behind, you know, Man United, and only by maybe, like, what is it, like 10,000, I think, or something? I'm not sure. But it's one of those things where it's going to be one of the most beautiful stadiums and such a big part of this club's history, ushering in a new era. You would have to think that he would want to be a part of that, especially being so close and being part of just this, like, iconic new Spurs side with Pochettino. So I really hope that he hasn't lost the plot, you know, because I think that if it's me and I'm the manager and I'm making the decision on Dele, I might sit him a couple of games. I mean, it really hasn't done us any bad to not be having the likes of a Dele in the first three Champions League games. So it's not like we would completely fall off form if he wasn't playing. And Son only has one goal this year. So you have to imagine he's probably pretty hungry to get some minutes too. So maybe bench him. I know that that's foolish. And like I said, you know, he's pretty much a can't miss because he gets you a goal out of nothing a lot of the time. But that's probably what I would do. I would just bench him for maybe a game or two. Nothing big, obviously. We don't want the likes of another Walker situation where he says, oh, well, I wasn't played in the big important game, so I'm gone, you know?
Yeah.
So just maybe one of these smaller kind of league games, you give the likes of a Son an opportunity to come in just to make Ali realize that he's not a miss, you know, that he has to play up to form and that if he's going to be, you know, disinterested, well, then there's other options.
James, do you think he gets unfairly treated by the media, especially in this country?
I don't know if it's unfairly treated. I think some of it he brings on himself. And we know that the media like this to build up this bad character, like this kind of, you know, someone that they can kind of print headlines about. And I think Ali plays up to that to some extent. You know, there is, you know, as Phil said, immaturity definitely in his game in regards. He's kind of the Diego Costa of Tottenham. There'll always be a little dig from him. I think that's improved. I think there was more chance of him being sent off kind of last year when he did react a little bit more. And you can see that someone spoke to him, maybe Pochettino, and said, look, you've got to kind of calm down. And the start of the Huddersfield game, you know, a couple of passes go astray and you can see him getting visibly frustrated. I think he has an arrogant streak in him. And I think that's what will probably ultimately lead him to want to leave the club. I think if any of the current group move on, it would probably be Ali first. I'm sure there's a lot of suitors for him and a lot of people talking to him and trying to turn his head. In regards to the media, you know, I do think it is partly down to him. He does silly things that we saw at the England game, you know, whether he was swearing at Kyle Walker or whoever he was swearing at, you know, it's a silly thing to do. And I think a slightly more mature player probably wouldn't do that. And, you know, he's quite lucky that he hasn't really cost us in terms of his behaviour as yet. I mean, obviously, you know, the Champions League games could have been much more effective so far than they have been without him. And the Chelsea game, getting sent off, you know, it was silliness. And I think he needs to knock that out of his game, because the media are going to keep writing stories about him, and they won't let it go until something changes.
Yeah, and it's such a shame, isn't it? Because he's got so much talent there to see. You know, we've seen it, haven't we, with so many great players in the past.
Yeah.
You know, the media wanting to knock them down as soon as they show any sign of promise. And it does happen. And I think Dele Alli has got to take a certain amount of responsibility for what's happened, hasn't he? You know, he's the one that goes out there and does some of these things. But it is a bit of a dilemma for Pochettino, I think, because he's got to manage this guy who... So it's a real delicate one, I think, and not one I envy Pochettino for. But Phil, I want to come to you and just ask you, just to finish up on the Huddersfield game, about another player who has shown a lot of improvement, let's say, this season. Moussa Sissoko got on the score sheet on Saturday. I was quite pleased to see him actually get on the score sheet, because I think he deserves that this season, doesn't he?
He deserves it for his effort. Admittedly, his goal was different, the word I'd use. If he hadn't have kicked the ball, he would have fell over it, without a doubt. But it was. I'm glad he scored, because he kind of deserves it. He's put a lot of effort in, and I think the reaction of the crowd shows that the actual crowd are starting to appreciate him a little bit more. I think one time that he's endeared himself to the fans is when we played West Ham, and he stood up to Noble, who, to West Ham fans, he's like their god, and he just made him look embarrassed, to be honest. And I think that, to me, he's probably earned more respect in that 2 second little argument with Noble than he's done since he signed for us. And I'm really glad for him in a weird way. He's still got to prove himself. 30 million, he's not a 30 million player at the minute, but he's still not had the amount of games that he should have had for us yet. But in the team we've got at the minute, it's very hard to fit him in regular.
It's so much talent in that squad, and there was a lot of criticism at the start of the season, wasn't there, about the squad not being deep enough, including myself. You know, I had my concerns about the squad. But now it's times like this now that you start to see that actually there is, you know, you've got Harry Winks who's back now. You've got Son sitting on the bench game after game. So there's certainly talent on the bench there, and it's great to see. Finally, on Huddersfield, Austin, third in the league now. If I'd offered you that at this stage before the season, bearing in mind the Wembley factor, you'd have bit my hand off for that, wouldn't you?
With no hesitation. I would have said, I probably would have wanted to know what our record was, you know, if you were to tell me all of those things and not tell me, like, you know, maybe necessarily the record, because I am pretty disappointed with how we played in the league at home. But to say that you go on the road in the first four road games of the season, you're 4-0, and you've only allowed the two goals that were scored against us in West Ham when we were down to 10 men, I mean, that's pretty impressive. So the team for me is on fire. I mean, it's so cool to see such a clinical team on the road. I mean, gosh, like, I remember going to any team on the road before maybe the last 2 years and thinking to myself, well, this is going to be, you know, I'd be glad to take a point here. Now I'm almost disappointed if we're not beating teams handily on the road, because it really plays against, and we were kind of talking about this before the pod and probably a little bit while during the pod as well, is that teams are starting to come out and play us, and that's probably the worst thing that you could do against our team. Like, literally, if you are a clam, you have a better chance of beating Spurs than you do an actual football team who's coming to play, because it's one of those things where we don't do so well when there's 11 behind the ball. But whenever teams are actually coming out to play us, we have too many clinical finishers, creators in our little triangle with Dele, Christian and Kane. And I don't think, you know, since we're coming to me to kind of wrap this Huddersfield thing up, really, Kane, I think, is probably the biggest name that we... I mean, I don't... Obviously, we're always going to be saying Kane's name, especially these days with how incredible he's been. But, I mean, he really deserves, like, a full almost, like, 2 to 3 minutes of talking about because he's been incredible. I mean, to be able to score a hat trick, you know, midweek against Apoel on the road, and then to go to Huddersfield on the road and score, you know, 2 goals, and it looked he probably should have had 3. I mean, there was that kind of acrobatic effort that he had in the box that was called offside, and I actually thought he was just about onside when he made that run, and it was
very close.
Yeah, and it was a brilliant finish. So it's just one of those things where a little bit of unluckiness on the AR's part, you know, calling him off. But it's one of those things where you see how just class the guy is, and obviously is just so humble, and he's like so Spurs, and you just got to be, like Pochettino said, I'm in love with the guy. Like, I mean, in a totally heterosexual way, it's just like... It's so cool to be an admirer of this club and an admirer of Harry Kane. And obviously, you know, it's not just Harry Kane, as Guardiola might have looked past. You know, obviously he's getting set up by the likes of a Trippier, who's having a great season, Ben Davies, who's having a great season, Eriksen, who's obviously on form. You know, all of these guys are really coming together at the right time, and I think we're kind of rectifying some of our demons from last year, not having a slow start, because we've already beat big teams in this campaign, and we're only just getting started. This month of October is going to be a really big test and a tell as to how the rest of our season is going to play out. But I'm super excited, and I'm just glad to be Spurs.
Yeah, it's a great time to be a Spurs fan, isn't it? As we were talking about before the podcast, compared to the previous years and decades of the 90s, after we take a short break, we'll be going into more detail about Harry Kane and the massive impact he's had on Spurs at the moment, and we'll be taking your questions. So guys, don't go anywhere. We'll be back after a short break with lots more Spurs chat. See you in a bit. Hi guys, welcome back to your eSpurs podcast. Now, every week, you'll know, if you're a regular listener to the show, we like to take your questions for the panel on the podcast. You guys, once again, have been great in getting your questions into us via Twitter at @e_Spurs and on our Facebook page, facebook.com/eSpurs page. So let's do exactly that and put them to the T. We're going to go to you, Phil, first up this week. Your question comes from Zach at the THFC, and he asks, Harry has been on fire, but how good has Davinson Sanchez been? He's been an unsung hero, in his opinion, that has slotted in seamlessly for only being 21. What's your thoughts on our new player from Ajax, Davinson Sanchez?
Against Huddersfield, he'd done a couple of, well, sublime little tackles where if he'd missed the ball, it was a penalty.
Yeah.
Clear as that. His strength as well on a 50-50, it's just that little nudge of a shoulder. He's going to be a night. Players like Lukaku will not like playing against him because he's not going to be intimidated. But with big players, that's how they intimidate defenders. I was looking at our back three, and I think, I can't believe how strong the back three is. And he, for his age as well, and the way he plays, he looks like so comfortable with them already. It's like he's played with them for a couple of seasons. You watch the line, the line's very tight when they're playing. The communication with him's good. He's obviously bonded with the rest of the team really well. And the way he kind of, if Toby's not there, whatever, or away, you can see him telling what to do. Do this, do that. You can tell him. He's like the voice at the back already. And his confidence on the ball and his distribution is, I think, the more he plays for us, I think the more people are going to realise how talented he is. And what a great buy he's going to turn out.
Yeah, he's a massive player, isn't he, in terms of impact. And, I mean, James, he almost seems to have slotted into that defence seamlessly.
Yeah, I think, I mean, he's had a really, really great start for us. I think this probably helps with Pochettino putting him in the middle, out of Alderweireld and Vertonghen, and obviously, you know, really experienced. And probably, I think, slightly better on the ball than him. So, if you watch him, a lot of his balls are short straight to them as an outlet rather than trying to overcomplicate it, which was, talking to an Ajax fan, one of his problems last year was that sometimes he overcomplicated what he was doing.
Yeah.
He's got all the attributes of being a great centre-half. Dare I say he's got a touch of the Ledley Kings about him in the fact that he'll read the play and come in front of the defender to take the ball. I think one thing he's probably got to work on would be his decision-making at times, where, you know, referees at times might look at him and say, no, that was... that. there's been penalty opportunities for other teams when he's made the wrong decision, you know, to overcomplicate it again with a sliding tackle when maybe not needed. But I think with Pochettino's coaching, he'll grow into a centre-half, and with maturity, he'll get that decision-making. And, you know, physically, he's an actual beast of a man. You know, we've seen him, I saw him in the international, knocking one of the players off the ball, and the pace of him as well is great, which will be a benefit to certainly our back line when you've got Davies and Trippier in, because we do lack that yard of pace, which Sanchez will give us a bit better on the cover. But yeah, I think, you know, he's got a great future with Spurs, and he has settled in really, really well, considering generally a player takes kind of a year to settle, especially a defender in this league. You know, we've seen it before with people like Mangala, who take a long time to settle. You know, he seems to have slotted straight in, which is great for us.
Indeed. I mean, and there's this famous YouTube clip, isn't there, that did the rounds, you know, before he signed, of him giving a player, I think it was a 50, 60 yard head start on him and still catching the bloke up. So major asset to have that pace in any Premier League side. Austin, how impressed have you been with our new lad?
Well, I mean, I'm impressed with really all of our additions, to be honest. I think that Davinson is slotted in, I mean, like you would hope a $42 million signing would. So, you know, it's, I don't mean to underplay his significance, because he has been very, very good. And he's, I mean, pretty much started, other than the Burnley game. I think that was the one game where he could have started and didn't. But I'm pretty sure almost every game since then, he's featured in every single team selection. So that just goes to show you how pivotal he has been. I mean, the rich get richer in terms of defense. You know, we were the best defensive team in the league last year, and we've only gotten stronger with adding the likes of Serge Aurier and Davinson. So, or as I've heard, he's called Harley Davinson Sanchez. You know what I'm saying? Because he's like he's the motorcycle. And also another nickname I've heard for Serge Aurier is Power Surge. Hey. You know, Power Surge Aurier. I like that. So those are both that I've heard from. Got to give credit where credit's due to expressions.
Fantastic. And I mean, he has made a great impact, isn't he, in that Spurs defense already. You could argue we already had the strongest defense in the Premier League, and I think the loss of Kyle Walker lessened that to a certain degree. But then bringing someone like Sanchez in now, you could argue once again, you know, they're back to having that strongest defence in the Premier League. I can't think of one that's stronger. I'm a little bit biased, it's fair to say, but I think they are. They're right up there. So it's a fantastic asset to have, no doubt, and a great signing. So credit where it's due for that. Next question is for James, and it's from at OKL1970. And they ask, what is plan B if Eriksen is not on form or worse, out injured? There is no obvious replacement in the team. Hashtag eSpurs pod. So, James, in your opinion, when Eriksen's out, what do we do?
Well, I think, first of all, it's hard to replace a player of Eriksen's quality. You know, his touch, his vision, and the way he helps, you know, the way Ali finds space. And we've seen with his crossing ability, certainly against Chelsea last year, his crossing from deeper, you know, is a real threat. So, no, first up, it's nearly impossible to replace him like for like anyway. There's a few players in the squad, and I like Harry Winks. I think he's growing into his role. I think the trouble with Winks is that he needs that game time now, so he almost needs to be a starter for us to find out if he is going to be the real deal. Good thing for Spurs is that we no longer set for that you know, that mediocre player or that just good enough player. We're a level above that now. And Winks has got to push on to play to that level to get anywhere near planning kind of the Eriksen role. I think looking at Barkley, possibly as a replacement for Dembele, but again, he could certainly do a job in terms of an Eriksen role like he used to do for Everton. I think they're certainly struggling without him at the moment. I know Sigurdsson hasn't got anywhere near a £45 million player at the moment. But in terms of a plan B, you know, there are ways to change it. We probably haven't signed the player with pace that we were looking for to play further forward. I'm not sure Nkudu's ever going to be that man. He seems like he has a lot of tricks, but no real end product, and not really direct enough. But I think if Eriksen's not in that side, you know, there is an argument that you can drop Kane into that role. We've seen him play it on a number of occasions. And with Llorente now, we've got, you know, a bona fide goal-scoring centre-forward that, if woe betide Eriksen got injured or was out for a sustained period, you could drop Kane into that 10 if you needed to, or play Ali there. But, you know, there's no quick option for a plan B when you've got a player of Eriksen's class, really.
Yeah, absolutely. He's that good, isn't he? Austin, is Son capable, do you think, of playing that Eriksen role? They're slightly different players, aren't they? So who do you put in there?
I'd say Dele. I don't really, or even Winks. I mean, I've played Winks in FIFA, like, in the Eriksen role before, and since his passing is so good, he, like, and his vision is good as well, it's one of those things where, like, at least for me, I mean, I know comparing FIFA to real life is just, like, totally asinine, but still. But having said that, I tend to think that I would probably put a Winks in there, maybe even a Sissoko, which actually Sissoko, because I'm pretty sure that's the role he played in the Apoel game, is it not? Didn't he kind of play that like center creative kind of cog where it was Son was on one side and either that or maybe he was more towards the wing. I don't know. But I tend to think Son is more of a winger. I mean, he's like a false nine, you know, yeah. He's Son is a goal-scoring winger, like a winger with great finishing ability, which are very rare. I mean, there's only a few of those in the world that you can, like, mention in the same breath, you know? So it's one of those things where, and he had 20 goals last season. For him to only have one goal so far this term, I think, is due to, more than anything, just playing time. So I'd like to see Son back in the lineup, but whenever Eriksen is out, we unfortunately are a little thin in the goals creating department. So I would tend to think that behind Eriksen, maybe you could probably mention like the Dele Alli, obviously, if he can play. I mean, he can't play in the game against Real Madrid at the Bernabeu, but, you know, after that, whenever he comes back, when they come back to play in Wembley, you know, it's going to be interesting to kind of see if Son gets a start where he has played quite well in the first two games in the Champions League, or if Dele is going to get the start. You would think Dele, without a doubt, is going to be a can't miss, because you would have to imagine that's the game he's going to have a worldie in, you know, the game that he gets to play against his quote unquote new employer. You know, I mean, that's the game he's going to want to impress in, just like the likes of a Bale. Remember when Bale played against Inter and he scored those three goals on the road? I mean, that was like his coming out party. You know, Dele hasn't really had a quote unquote like coming out party, you know, in serious European play or even in Premier League play. I mean, he's had a couple of big games in the Premier League, but he's not been scoring hat tricks like, you know, Harry has, where he's really kind of the talk of the team.
Certainly is. And I mean, you know, just heard today, actually, the game, I think, against Real Madrid sold out today. So full crowd there. It's going to be a fantastic night against Real Madrid and can't wait for that one. Third question we had tonight, guys, was from Stoney at Mr. Stoney. And he asked about Dele Alli. Of course, we've already covered Dele Alli, so I hope we've already answered that for you, Stoney. But he asked, why does Dele Alli feel the need to dive? It's cheating and it disgusts me. So obviously there are Spurs fans out there with differing points of view, I think, on Dele Alli, it's fair to say. And we just hope we see the other side of the Dele Alli from here on in. I'm sure we will. So Stoney, hope that answered your question earlier in the show. And that is your listeners' questions for this week, guys. As I say, keep them coming in via the Twitter at @e_Spurs and on the facebook.com/eSpurs page. If you send your question via Twitter, just add the hashtag eSpursPod and we'll get them on next week's show for you. Okay, so to finish up this week's show, I thought what we'd do, guys, is we go into the international break. I'm sure you're all looking forward to the international break as much as I am. You can probably sense the irony and the sarcasm in my voice. But of course, we go into the international break having just heard about Pep Guardiola's recent comments, which I'm sure interest a few people, on Harry Kane. And I thought we'd talk about this one briefly on the end of this week's show. Phil, Pep Guardiola is spent, I think, over £200 million this summer. And a lot would argue that, you know, he might have difficulty going into a Wigan or a Burnley and managing a team like that. And yet he seems to feel the need to comment on Spurs and in particular Harry Kane. And this week he came out with a comment talking about Chelsea to begin with. He said, "We're in September. Chelsea won 13 games in a row last season. They were unbeatable. They won the league. It's not easy. Of course, this season they play in Europe. It's a little more complicated for all teams. We have United and the Harry Kane team who scores every game, two or three goals." What's Pep's problem with Spurs, Phil?
I think someone that's gone and beat Chelsea away from home and speak about Spurs tells me that he's worried about Spurs.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's playing mind games. If we'd just beaten Chelsea and I was the manager, you'd speak about what a great win, blah, blah, and he's gone straight about Spurs. To me, he thinks we're the ones that are going to be challenging them. And he's trying to just a little bit uneasy in the camp, little bit of mind games, that type of thing. He spent $204 million this season. Sure, if he doesn't deliver at least a Premiership or a Champions League, at least get into the semi-finals, his time must be up. He's under pressure, and this is his way, to me, he's trying to deflect the pressure.
Austin, Phil's right, isn't he? I mean, this is typical, almost a Mourinho-type comment, isn't it, where you try to get under the skin of a team that you see as a genuine threat.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. But the funniest thing is like, that's how you know that we have the edge. So yeah, for me, Pep is, I think we're totally in his head, obviously. Just like Phil was saying, I think that you got it spot on there. I think in his head, he's thinking we are the real challengers at the moment. And for him to kind of throw a little dig at the club by only mentioning the star player's name must mean that he thinks that there's nobody else he has to worry about. Well, I think that's probably one of the dumbest things you could do about, especially about the form that we've been on. And if and even in recent past, whenever the likes of a Mourinho or the likes of, you know, a Conte even say or have said anything about Spurs, especially like when Pochettino has managed the club, you can tell that Pochettino is not rattled by the likes of a Pep Guardiola. I mean, Pochettino was a hard-nosed defender. I mean, and you love him for just his kind of brash, you know, manliness that you know, and you can tell that, like, he doesn't care at all what the likes of a Pep even thinks or even says about him. I mean, he knows that he's right up there with that kind of a guy with, you know, in the likes of a Man City against Tottenham, and we have not even a portion of the money spent on our club. So it just must feel fantastic to hear, you know, I bet you Poch was like laughing himself into just, you know, into a tizzy over the weekend thinking, you know, hearing these comments, thinking to himself, like, why are you even, you know, throwing shade at me whenever me and my squad, you know, have actually played, you know, quality opposition, and you know, we're being mentioned more so maybe than the likes of you, and we've spent half the money to do so, you know. So for me, I think it's a jealousy thing, and it's also, I think, you know, if I think that was a good shout from Phil, is that if he doesn't like win the league, or if he doesn't make it like into, you know, the semi-final of the Champions League, he might be out of a job. So, you know, that's just kind of what it's like to be managing the likes of a Man City. You know, if you're not producing at the very, very top, then your job security isn't very good, and that tends to make people say stupid things. And I think that's exactly what he did by basically just saying we're a one-man team with Harry Kane being the only player he needs to worry about. But he better get worried, because look what Huddersfield manager said about Harry Kane. Oh, we don't really have a game plan for Harry Kane. Well, you might want to get one. You know, you really might want to think about covering the guy, because he's unstoppable at the moment. So if you're not triple teaming him, you might want to. You know, he's scoring goals for fun.
He certainly is on fire. Absolute beast of a player at the moment. And we could, of course, spend a whole program talking about Harry Kane, but it seems as if the media have done that for us. So, James, in terms of Guardiola's comments, He seems to be quite respectful to Chelsea in that sentence. And, of course, Chelsea are up there as competition to City. So why do you think Spurs in particular have been on the receiving end of this one?
I mean, I think, first of all, the comments he made were basically Mourinho comments. You know, I would have expected it from Mourinho. The stuff he comes out with, you know, week in, week out. I think looking at the press conference, you know, he was in a good mood because they just, you know, absolutely pulled Chelsea apart. And one of certainly those two managers are horrendous losers. You know, I know you shouldn't be a good loser, but in terms of the media, when it suits them, you know, he was sitting there quite happy. They're all on his side, and he's given this kind of comment, which came across a little bit as a throwaway comment, but there is certainly some meaning there. And I think in regards to why, you know, why it's Spurs, it's, we're kind of the new kids on the block, and I think he looks at us with jealousy. You know, they've spent that huge amount of money, and the pressure's on him. He has to deliver. Whereas when you look at Tottenham, it's been a very slow and at times painful evolution, probably from kind of Martin Jol, you know, through, and we've had our ups and downs, but we've built slowly. And one thing you can see with Spurs now is we make decisions, and you can see there's a reason behind the decision. Or if you don't see it straight away, it becomes apparent. So, you know, Sissoko and decisions, Sanchez, I think, is probably, you know, a successor to Alderweireld. And those decisions you see from Pochettino, it makes sense after a while. And I think both the Man United, or both the, sorry, both the Manchester clubs look at us with a little bit of jealousy, and certainly we know their fans do, because everyone hates us at the moment, which is brilliant, because it means we're doing well.
It's fantastic, isn't it? Yeah.
It's great, especially Chelsea, West Ham and Arsenal, when they really hate us. You know, there was nothing worse than the kind of mid-90s where Arsenal just sort of went, oh, well, it's only Tottenham kind of thing. And there's that famous half-time with Alex Ferguson where he said that it's only Tottenham. You know, now there's a real worry about us because of the way we play, and the way we've built something, and we've built it properly. Good financial backing, and it does get frustrating when you see about the wages, but there's nothing we can do about that. You know, our turnover is our turnover, and in business you can't exceed your 50% wage to turnover. Hopefully, you know, that might change when we move into the new stadium, but yeah, I think it's just purely down to jealousy. And the fact that, you know, they're worried about us getting amongst them like we have the last couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking about Wenger there, I think he's given up now completely on catching Spurs, isn't he? Because he doesn't even seem to mention Spurs anymore. I know they got the win the other day, but I think their fixtures have been quite kind to them as well in a lot of respects. So, it's lovely to see, and long may it continue.
We'll be back next week with more Spurs chat. My thanks to Phil, to James, and of course to Austin. Have a great week, guys. And as always, come on, you Spurs.